Hey guys, welcome to the Dead Set Legends podcast. I'm Gus Warland. I'm here with Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. How are you feeling? It's been wonderful watching what's happening in Tokyo, as well as obviously the sport that's happening in Australia.
Oh, lockdown, but when there's that much sport on TV, it's been great to watch what's happening in Tokyo. And we've had Craig Bellamy re-sign during the week. We've had Alistair Clarkson announce that he's stepping aside earlier for Sam Mitchell. So can't wait to chat to Tamsin Manu and also
Jason Dunstall.
Oh yeah, Queensland legend. It's great to have some other Queensland royalty in the building.
Well, there's some real Queensland royalty coming in the building.
Really?
Jason Dunstall. Oh,
yeah, Jordan Nashel. That doesn't count.
Yeah, no, Carlton over St Kilda, the Roosters over Para, Warriors over the Tigers. So the Warriors get a win, and everyone I think was happy about that, except obviously Tiger fans. And the Broncos got it done. They won't be the wooden spooners.
No,
they will be the Bulldogs, and the Broncos starting to build something.
Yeah, they are, and that's what I mean. I know last year when Kevy was on board, I said, look, Kevy was the answer for this next couple of years because those young players have to learn a bit of culture. It certainly wasn't Anthony Seibold's fault because there was problems in and around there. But now you're starting to see some young players starting to understand what it's like to win and to play under Kevy.
And you went back to Mackay in terms of calling the game on Thursday night between Parramatta and the Roosters, and you want to do something special this morning, Del.
Yeah, look, I think you know, we're going through a bit of tough time, but I just think, you know, rugby league in general, I think it saves a lot of us, you know, whether it's the farmers, you know, we've done it, Gus, you know, out there for Gotcha for Life and Are You Okay? You know, it gives you hope, rugby league, you know, the game's going now. And for me, I didn't realise until lunchtime that day that I was in Mackay. So I don't know if people, Mackay is, there's central Queensland. So on that border, there's like Mackay and then 300 Ks, there's south of that is Rockhampton, where guys like Ben Hunt, Anthony Seibold, Cameron Munster come from. And then there's Townsville the other way where Gordon Tallis, guys like Gene Miles and Sam Thaiday are from. So
incredible breeding ground.
Mate. So when I watched it, and Gerds asked if I was all right, and I said, yeah, I'm all right, because what people don't understand is that place in general, Kathy Freeman's probably our biggest and our best athlete. She's our best ambassador. She left there about 14 or 15. She got recruited to go to Melbourne. So we all did athletics together. A lot of us all know each other. So, you know, when I see the boys and, you know, come from Mackay Serena, that's why it's such a proud sort of town. So as I'm doing the call, I'm getting quite emotional. And Gertz goes, you're right. And I said, yeah. I said, mate, to be honest, I said, that's where I started my career, in, you know, Mackay Serena. I played for Serena Crocodiles. My mum and dad, you know, took me with the boots. And actually, we played in bare feet as 8-year-olds. And that ground around there, that's where a lot of crickets played as well. So when we started calling it, it made me proud as a North Queensland boy, but also made me think about mum and dad. So it got me thinking, you know, I think I don't carry too many segments. I actually got up early and did a bit of research this morning, boys. You wouldn't believe that.
Yeah, hang on. Yeah, you've actually brought in pieces of paper that you've written on.
Yeah, I have.
It's incredible.
Yeah, I have. So boys, you know,
this is literally the first time ever you've actually decided to come in prepared, researched, and fired up about it.
You wouldn't want to stuff it up.
It's not fired up. I'd say it's passion, mate, because what rugby league has done for me and what that what Mackay region, Serena region, means so much to me, and not just the community, but the footballers. So
you've got your top 12 players to come out of that
why
region.
12? Hey? Why 12?
Well, 12
couldn't fit in 10 or no?
No, no. Well, 12's a good number. 12's a good number, and there's a lot of players. So there's going to be players. If we put that on Facebook, a lot of people will blow up and go, hey, what about so-and-so?
Yeah.
But these are the players that helped me through my career, but the players that I watch. And I'm telling you now, when people hear this list, they'll go, mate, so-and-so, it's a good debate.
Okay.
So
starting at 12?
Yep. I'll start at 12. But, you know, we always have a sub. There was a guy called Ray Gagai. That was Dane Gagai's dad. He went to the Broncos. He was unbelievable. He played reserve grade in that. I think he played a few trials in first grade. But didn't get a start. You know why? Because there was a guy called Steve Renoff, Mick Hancock, Willie Kahn, all these guys were in front of him. So he went back home. So he's on the bench. Number 12 is a guy called Butch Fattenauer.
Oh, so he was 13?
Yeah, he was 13.
Okay.
We always need a sub. So Butch Fattenauer, he's number 12. He was a very talented young Broncos fullback. Came from that region. One of the best juniors I played with. Number 11 was Ben Barber, for obvious reasons. Mm. Number 10, Dane Nielsen. Won a premiership with, you know, Melbourne, played Origin, and also my cousin, Owen Cunningham, tough edge back rower, played in the middle. I was lucky enough to play against him. I remember one day him and David Gillespie smashed me, and I started lipping up to him because it hurt me, and I lipped up, and he just goes, shut up, you just got smashed. Yep, fair enough. Okay, back on the wing I went. Okay, number 8, You'll know this guy, Steve Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Mate, what about that try in the grand final?
Well, one of the most famous grand final tries of all time.
And not just that, one of the best blokes. He called me a month ago to see if I could come up and do a gig for the Mackay Rugby League, and I was happy to, but the borders were closed.
Any cashier you'd
like?
No,
it was actually for nothing. I was happy to go home. That's how hard it's been. And to be honest, I love what he's been about. So the last 10 or 12 years, he hasn't had a drink, and I asked him why, and he said it wasn't good for his mental health.
Good on him.
So number seven, a guy called Nev Costigan. Nev, tough. I played with him at the Dragons. Mate, he was an enforcer. And Wayne Bennett said, you've got to have blokes like him in your team. I love Ned and Nev. And then off the field, if you want to have a beer, Nev's your man. Okay. Number six was a guy that was in my age group. There was him, Butch Fratnana, and me. And these two were better than me. This guy was unbelievable. Brett Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
He debuted at 18 for the Bulldogs. Peter Moore recruited him. Peter Moore sat down with him and me. He wanted both of us. But they could only take Brett Dallas because, obviously, I think they signed Steve Price from Toowoomba. Mm-hmm. So they took Pricey as well. So they signed Pricey instead of me. Unlucky Bulldogs. So that's fine. number five, a guy called Martin Bella. He was a pretty tough player.
Oh,
not a good bloke, but number four.
Yeah, average bloke every time.
Average bloke.
Yeah.
Mate, I'll give you a story of Martin Bella.
Not now. Yeah.
Okay, number four. Okay, off air. Number four, Kevin Campion.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone needs a Kevin Campion. Mate, he's a bloke of the team that everyone loved to play with. Remember when he belted Shane Webke?
Oh, yeah.
So Kevin Campion was from Serena. He was one of the first ones. So Dallas Shearer left Serena, Martin Bella, and then there was him, and then I followed after that. And I love Campo. Campo's an absolute champion and a great mate of mine. The third was the Origin captain, DCE.
Yeah.
You know, he's won grand finals. He's done it all. Really nice kid. His old man is a bit of a legend back there. So DCE, number two, a person who I think, when you pick the greatest Queensland teams, you got to pick him on the wing because he's mate, he won a Wally Lewis medal from the wing. You know how hard that is?
Yeah.
Dane Gagai.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the second best player I've seen come out of that region. And number one, this guy was my hero. This guy, whenever he'd come back in the off-season, we'd be playing touch football, he'd always join in with us. And to this day, you know, he's had his demons and that like we all have, but he was a natural. Dale Shearer.
Oh, yeah.
He was my hero. So when we go to a function, I always walk up to Rowdy. I saw him at Noosa Surf Club a couple of years ago. And, mate, I get nervous around him because he was my hero and he was an absolute gentleman.
Nice touch, Del. Yeah. The single bubble has opened up.
You've got to choose wisely. Choose wisely, Sydney.
You do, dude. So basically the Premier said that you can have one person so you're not lonely, right? So we've decided to throw it out. Then we want your calls on 133353. What athlete would you love to be in lockdown with and why? So give us a call. The best caller gets a $100 Jimmy Brings voucher.
So who's yours?
For me, Freddie Fittler.
Freddie, Freddie, you'd chew his ear off the whole time. Yeah. He'd be sick of you.
I'm not sure that Freddie would reciprocate that, but I've loved him from afar. Like Matty Johns used to say, I'm a bone collector when it comes to sort of celebrities and so forth. But he's become a friend of mine. We do these trips away now, and I just love the bloke. And I reckon he gives me really good karma and good focus and process and calmness in his life. So I'm going with Freddie. What about you guys?
If I had to choose anyone globally, probably Tom Brady.
Mate,
I just, you know, throw a few passes with him in the backyard. Oh, yeah.
He'd love to pick some tips up from you, Jim.
I might run a couple of routes for him.
You had hands like feet. What are you talking
please,
about?
Please, please.
What about you, Wendell?
Oh, guys, unlike you, I'm going to stay close to home because, I give our athletes a bit of respect. Don't jump on all these other bandwagons. I know you will love Freddie and obviously you, Tom Brady, mate. I think you're trying to get close to Tom Brady because, you know, certain reasons. Mate, I'm going to get close to home. I love the NRL players now, the consistent NRL players.
Yeah.
There's something about this kid. I met him as a 17-year-old. Every time I speak to him, he's got so much charisma, and he's a bit of a scallywag. Cam Munster. I'm his biggest fan. I used to ring Seabowl and Bellamy go, mate, Munster. And when I met him in the dressing room after grand final, he comes in, grabs a beer, and I said, oh, hey, mate, nice to meet you. I said, Wendell, so he goes, oh, yeah, mate, big fan of yours, mate. And then Wendell walks off on me. But I love him. He's just, and then Wayne Bennett said to me, he goes, mate, you would have loved to play with Cam Munster. So Cam Munster, I'm his number one fan.
I can imagine if you two are in the bubble, that Jimmy Brings voucher would be used up very, very quickly. Tony from Cronulla, start the ball rolling for us, brother.
I think Lindsay Vonn, for anyone that doesn't know her, give her a follow on Insta. She's nearly single, retired, absolutely smoking hot, but absolutely trains like a demon. You have she's just got it all going on.
She sure does, Tony. And no doubt she'd be your you would be her selection as well. Let's speak to Dylan now.
Isn't it Tiger's ex?
It's Tiger's ex. Yeah. Dylan in Blacktown. G'day, Dylan.
Hey boys, how you going?
Very good. Who would you like to be in the bubble with?
Oh, I'd have to be Victor Radley, of course.
Oh, on the beers with Victor.
Yes.
pretty simple. Beers, and more beers.
You got that right, Dylan.
And he's a good kid too, but I remember coaching him and Adrian Lamb. We were coaching those kids, and there was him, Lachlan Lamb, my young bloke, and Victor. He's got three brothers. So he was like...
Are they all mad?
Yeah, they all mad. And his old man's like old English style sort of a worker.
I love it. Let's go to Anne now in Hoxton Park. G'day, Anne.
Hi, boys. How are you?
Good. Very well. Who would you like to be in lockdown with?
JT.
Oh, that laugh.
Oh, that laugh. You could just laugh all night.
Yeah, of course you could. Yeah, you got to turn it off. He's a champion fellow, JT.
He sure is.
He's a legend. I'll meet him one day, hopefully.
Yeah, you will.
Good on you, Anne. Let's go to John in Schofields. G'day, John.
Yeah, Mark Webber.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. Absolute champion.
Fantastic.
Good bloke, too,
Just to get the truth of the true relationship with Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah.
The old Red Bull teamed on it.
I reckon Vettel is a piece of work.
He does.
Yeah. I worked with Mark Beretta, one of your old mates there.
Mark Beretta, a good guy.
Yeah, but Mark Webber was there, and all he wanted to talk about was the Raiders. He was a Raiders ball boy
back in
the day. Yeah.
Okay, let's finish it up with Chris, who's in Sydney. Who would you like to be in isolation with, Chris?
G'day, boys. How are we?
Very good, thank you.
Far-fetched, but Conor McGregor. I think you wouldn't get a bit of a sleep. You went no sleep at all. laughing all night, humour. And he's a straight up shooter. I don't think he'll be lying in front of your face. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty good point.
You train with him as well.
Bring some of his whiskey on board as well.
Yeah, get a training. Nice. You know, a bit of fitness in this lockdown anyway. Sydney's not the best at the moment.
Good on you, Chris, Jude, and Dell. How awesome has it been to have the Olympics on through the lockdown? And we've got one of Channel 7's commentators, Tasman Manu, used to be Tasman Lewis, on the line right now. She's doing the commentary with the King, with Sir Bruce McAvaney at the moment. And welcome to the Dead Set Legends.
Hey, guys. How are you? I hope you're watching lots of Olympics.
Oh, well, this lockdown, it's been absolutely perfect timing. And now that the swimming is nearly done and dusted, we're obviously moving to the athletics. And it's been great to see you and Bruce do your stuff. What's it like over there?
Look, it's been interesting. The poor athletes have had to deal with the humidity. I think the conditions have been really tough for them. If you watched the men's 10,000 metres last night, our guy Patrick Tiernan did, oh my gosh, was he not incredible? He was so brilliant. He really hung in there because those guys are just fabulous, fabulous athletes, and he took it to the Africans, and oh my goodness, we were so proud of him. And he was in all sorts after that race, just only barely got across the line, wheelchaired off the track. That's giving everything for your country. And he's okay. He said he was a little bit embarrassed, which I can't understand. I think he won a whole heap of fans for the way that he attacked that race. I think we're going to see more scenes like that a little bit because the conditions are really affecting the distance athletes. And that was day one. And wasn't there a lot of theatre and entertainment and drama on just day one of the athletics?
Tams, and obviously across this Olympics, the girls have been performing so well. We've just seen, obviously, Jess Fox, Emma McKeon, and the swimmers as well. It's just been an incredible performance by our girls at the Olympics thus far.
Oh, haven't the women been going brilliantly? They've really stepped up. And, you know, watching that first week of the Olympics, seeing how well the swimmers did, and you sort of feel like you rock the emotions with them. With Jess Fox, you were so sorry for her because you could see how upset she was with a bronze, whereas we're all going, you know, that's mere mortals. They're like, wow, you got a bronze at the Olympics. And then she came out and won the gold. And what a lovely, lovely person. All our women are just such great role models. And I hope what comes from these Olympics is that the young girls out there watching, they start to follow these women as role models and heroes rather than some of perhaps the reality stars that are going around at the moment.
Believe us, we've got five daughters between us in here. We all agree with you on that.
Oh, the fact that we've got 2032 as well to look forward to in Brisbane, it's just so exciting as a nation. I guess now, look, turning our eyes to the athletics, we've got the likes of Stuart McSwain in the 1500 is a massive chance, isn't he?
He is. And, you know, we could actually have three Australians in that 1500 metres. It's not, I mean, it sounds ridiculous saying that because we're not known necessarily for our track powers when we come up against, like I said before, the African countries. But Stuart McSwain has just been making every post a winner. And when he gets plonked in a European race with the world's best, he does really well, and he finishes in those top three quite regularly. There's an athlete that's over in America training, and in Ollie Hall, and he could make the final as well. And then our national champion, Jai Edwards, has just had a season that he's ridiculous on paper, and he's just cool, calm, and collected the way he goes about his running, and a lovely mover. And so wouldn't that be fabulous to have three in that men's 1500?
Oh, it'd be amazing. And of course, Starkey's brother, Mitch Stark's brother, that's what we all call him, doing okay in the high jump. He qualified into the final nice and easy. Didn't even hardly took his tracky dacks off. I love seeing that, the cool, calm and collected Starkey yesterday.
You know what? I'm married to an ex-cricketer, and I tell him that Mitch Stark is Brandon Stark's brother. I mean, come on. Cricket is great, but track and field is a global sport. And what Brandon did qualifying, he looks brilliant. He's been in World Championships, Olympic finals before, and this is his time to shine. He is not without a chance of hitting that podium. And after what he has been through with losing his father, I think so many people, having watched him talk to Bruce McAvaney in that interview leading into that qualifier yesterday, are so on his side and just want to see him have this moment at these Olympics.
Yeah, it was one of those you're crying, no, I'm not crying moments with that chat with Bruce. There's no doubt about it. It was absolutely beautifully done by Seven, and you've done a fantastic job so far. Talking about your hubby, Graham Manu, who obviously was a fantastic cricketer in your own right, I wanted to ask you, is there much competition in your family house on who is the best or who did what slightly better? Because we didn't read out your CV, but it's quite incredible. Let's just do one line. Won a total of 18 Aussie championships across the 400, 800 and the 400 metres hurdles. He was a pretty decent cricketer. Do you have that chat?
Look, we're still married, so clearly he's accepted that I'm better.
Yeah, he's not stupid.
Exactly.
Now, we really hope you have a wonderful next week. We'll be obviously watching absolutely every piece of it. So we just want to say you can watch the Olympics live and free on Seven, the home of the Olympics. And Tasman, thank you so much for enjoying a bit of time with us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate you having me on.
Been loving all the action over there in Tokyo, boys. And there was one bit a couple of days ago, Simone Biles, who is a gymnast, and you would say the greatest gymnast of all time.
Yeah, better than Nadia Comaneci.
Yeah, absolutely. She's won that many gold medals, that many American championships and Olympic championships. She decided about three quarters of the way through the team event that she would pull out through mental health issues. She then said, give me a couple of days and I might go for the individual, but I may not. In the end, she decided she wasn't in a good state of mind, so she pulled out of the individual as well. Well, to say the world is divided is an understatement. You've got old school people saying, you know what? Yeah. She's a part of a team.
Yep.
She should have stepped up. She let that team down. And in the end, they didn't get a gold medal because of her. And then you've got the other side saying, you know what? About time stood up for themselves to realize that that type of sport and the way that she was thinking, she was in no space to actually do that event. What are you guys thinking? You guys have both played at the highest level of your various sports. You've been around sport all your life. Where do you sort of sit in terms of the for her or against her, or should we not even have that discussion? Should we just be focusing on the facts?
I think it's shown how far we've come. I think previously I might have had the mindset that, oh, hang on, let the team down. But I think, you know, the mental health side of things is just so important. She's carried the weight of expectation and what she seemed the weight of the world on her shoulders. And we saw with Michael Phelps in previous times and things like that. And, you know, for you not to have the mindset of I'm confident here and I'm actually going to deliver, and you know, for gymnasts especially, they term it the word twisties. They're almost like I'm feeling disorientated and I don't have the confidence to actually perform. She was doing 2.5 twists and double backs, you know, somersaults and things like that. So incredible sort of mindset and confidence you need to go into every move. The expectation of her. In her own questions, she said, for anyone saying I quit, I didn't quit. My mind and body are simply not in sync. I don't think you realize how dangerous this is on a hard competition surface, nor do I have to explain why I put my mental health first.
Yeah.
Physical health is mental health. And I think that sums it up really well. And I think it's a courageous decision.
Yeah, I think it's come a long way because, mate, back in the day when we came through, and not just, I think, you know, young men or young kids coming through, we were taught just tough it out. You know, if you've gone through a bad patch, just suck it up. You got injured, you know, get up. It's like the head knocks. We've evolved since then. And I respect that because I didn't know the full story, Gus, when I talked to you earlier. But I heard that she, you know, she'd pulled out. But, like, these girls, what they put their body through from a young age, like, you look at what swimmers do, but the wear and tear on their bodies, like, unbelievable. So I respect her for doing that.
So when you talk about the athlete herself, what about the person behind it? Do we know that much about her and her background? All I knew, I must admit, in the lead up to this was that she was the greatest gymnastics person of all time. Men, women, boy, girls, whatever it might be. There's a bit of a backstory to her.
Oh, absolutely. I think the light was shone on gymnastics as a whole, on the whole Larry Nassar scenario that came through, which was just horrific for gymnastics.
So he was a coach that actually...
Yeah, has been sent to jail for offending against young women. And sadly, Simone Biles came through that era. And also, if you look at her background, she was living in and out of foster homes early on. So for her to have that, background and then still be come out and be the champion that she is, I think it just shows the courage that she has. And, you know, I take my hat off for her to take that moment and say, look, I'm not going to go for the individual gold. And Sunisa Lee's come out and won and now has her moment in the sun as well.
Exactly. And the team won the silver anyway because they were able to substitute someone in for her. So they didn't lose at all because of her pulling out. The other thing you mentioned, Phelps, the swimmer, right? The greatest Olympian of all time when you talk about medals and so forth. He's now going through such incredible trauma. Because he never looked after himself like she's now looking after herself.
Yes.
He just pushed through that old school way of looking at it. Yeah. Came out the other side and went, you know what?
Yeah.
A year after he was an Olympic champion and the greatest of all time, he was sitting around going, I'm no good.
Yeah.
So Simone is now taking charge of herself and actually doing probably something that Phelpsy probably in hindsight should have done.
I can see two similarities here too, because I reckon I've been through a little bit of both what they've been through, not at their level, obviously. They are like world class, you know. In football, we're in a team event. They're an individual event. I was adopted, and I think people that have read my book, I have people coming up to me when I do the Are You Okay stuff, I Got You For Life, saying, mate, really appreciate you talking about being adopted. I understand me being adopted at 2 days, so I'll give it for adoption, and I don't think people understand this, but I met my birth mum as well, 13 and 18, but then I just didn't want anything more to do with her. Only found out two years ago that she died of a heart attack and she had cancer. She didn't want to ring me. People didn't want to tell me, but I found out on social media. Someone direct messaged me. Wow. So in the last 2 years, I've lost both my mums and I still get counselling about it because I wish I would have given them the opportunity to explain. But, and then I reckon for me, that's what fuels me to be successful. Mm. And Wayne Bennett said to me, he goes, you're a person who needs acceptance and want to be loved. But at the same time, people love you because of who you are. And that's sometimes you doubt that. And I reckon that's why Phelps sometimes goes through that. And this young lady, I respect what she's done. It's a bit like the Adam Good stuff.
Yeah. I think we actually tip our lid to this amazing athlete, but even more so, the strength of her as a person. Let's move on because we have a special guest dropping by into the podcast.
Our next guest will go down in history as one of the greatest players to ever strap on the boots in the AFL in an era where goal kickers were the giants of the game. And it wasn't uncommon to have a ciggy in the change rooms at halftime. He kicked over 1,200 goals, made two All-Australian teams, won three Coleman medals and four premierships, and he's been inducted into the Football Hall of Fame. Not bad for a kid from Queensland.
Where's Dunstall? There is another AFL player. Kicked 1,000 goals.
Please welcome Dead Set legend, Jason Dunstall.
Yeah, the Chief. How are you, brother? Good morning to you.
I'm very well, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very, very well. Thanks for joining us. And of course, lots been happening in your world, in the AFL world, but also in the Hawthorn world in the last few days. What do you make of it all?
Oh, it's been a very, very annoying 24 hours, Gus. I got to tell you, mate, phone started ringing off the hook yesterday morning and then all the stories broke. And it hasn't been a great few weeks for the club. Let's put it that way. I think it's been handled in a pretty messy sort of fashion, and hopefully now we can put it all to bed and move forward.
Yeah.
Jason, it's Jude Bolton. Obviously, this handover, I mean, Caroline Wilson went really hard after, obviously, Jeff Kennett and the board's decision to have this handover at the end of the 22 season, and it's spectacularly unfolded. I mean, do you get a sense that the footy club needed some fresh air, as was said at the press conference?
Yeah, well, I think if you're going to make a change, Jude, you just make it. You don't draw it out. It became far too convoluted a process. And we've seen handovers in recent times at Collingwood with Malthouse and Buckley, even at Essendon with Worsfold and Rutten. They don't look good, mate. They don't actually work. You're just treading water. So if you're going to make a change, make it.
Bunghole, how you going, mate? It's Wendell Saylor.
Big Del.
My man. How you going?
I'm very well.
Mate, last time I saw you was at the Jack Newton Celebrity Classic. And can I tell you, like, I've got a bit of an ego, and and Bunghole's one of those guys. He just keeps baiting you. And there was Paddy Rafter there, but can I just say, mate, I just loved having a drink with him. But also, they get you together because as a Queenslander, mate, what made you choose AFL? Like, you could have played any sport. I know you love your league. So what made you choose AFL, mate?
Well, mate, it was the first game you were able to play as a kid in Queensland. I started when I was 5 years old, and you weren't allowed to play rugby at that age. So I started playing Aussie rules as a five-year-old in the under-sevens. I played union at school because I went to a private school, and I just kept playing, mate. So enjoyed it, then got the opportunity to come to Melbourne.
Jase, you must love the big forwards that are kicking goals this year. We saw Harry Mackay last night, Max King kick 5 and 4 respectively. But, you know, Franklin, who's still maintaining, you know, such a high standard, he got off during the week with the elbow to Luke Ryan. How are you loving this era of big forwards?
Yeah, I did the game last night, so it was enjoyable to watch. I do like Harry Mackay, and we saw Ben King, Max King last week and also last night. I think the rules have helped the forwards a little bit, Jude. So the ball can be moved a little bit quicker. You don't have to kick over the man on the mark. You can go around him. And it just means they're getting a few more opportunities. Taylor Walker's reinvented himself at Adelaide as well. So it's a lot of fun. I'm glad Bud's in action, mate. We like seeing it. I mean, we can't afford to have the best players sitting out.
Yeah, absolutely right. You're looking at the AFL table at the moment, Chief, and you've got the Western Bulldogs on top on 56 points. You go all the way down to 10th spot and you see Richmond there on 32, just out of the eight. Can you see them sneaking into the eight, Richmond? Because we look at them as the Storm of the NRL, always at the top of their game. They've slipped away so much this year. Can they get in the eight and then make a late run?
Oh, they can get in the eight, mate, but gee, we hope not. We're so sick. Geez, they've won 3 of the last 4. We need some different teams up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Jase, last question. Obviously, just on the Alistair Clarkson, do you see him coaching the likes of a Carlton or a Collingwood next year?
It's really hard to say. I suspect he might enjoy 12 months off, but yes. I think the suitors will come hard and fast for him because it's a great opportunity to land the best coach in the modern era. So it'll be a really fascinating story to watch.
Hey, Bunghole, I get very lucky to work with some of the great players in and around sport and Triple M.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, no, I was looking at Jude then. Sorry, mate.
Oh, sorry. Hey, yeah.
So, mate, I don't think people realise this, but back in 1993, I was lucky enough that Wayne Bennett took a punt on me. So myself and Nathan Buckley both started in Brisbane 93. He went to Collingwood to win premierships. So obviously he didn't win any premierships, but my favourite players through that era, and obviously Bunghole was up there, was Andrew McLeod. You know, he was the Rolls-Royce of midfielders. You know, 97, 98, I think Norm Smith medalist. Wayne Carey for obvious reasons, because, mate, I love when he got double-teamed to remind me of Viv Richards. I went and watched him one day at the Gabba, and I said, who's the guy at number 18? Someone goes, oh, that's Wayne Carey. And I loved him. He's so arrogant. And then obviously Dusty Martin. Out of those three guys, who would you pick as your best?
Oh, yeah,
I know it's different. I know it's different, but they're my favourite three. Who would you pick to play for your life?
Oh, mate, only you could come up with a left-field question like that. They are three of the most different players you've ever seen.
Yes, that's right. So, that's why I said it.
not even letting me compare apples with apples. I always said when I played, Duck was the best player I'd ever seen. Wayne Carey.
There you go.
Yeah.
I thought he was the best player. Nothing wrong with the other two. So if I was asked to pick out of those three, I'm still happy.
Yeah. I tell you what, Duck just lacks a little bit of self-confidence.
Oi.
You know, that's...
Oi. Me and him had a drink together, and I'll be honest, he had energised me. Mate.
Wow.
Two bull elephants.
Yeah.
Oh, look, Jase, thank you so much for joining us, mate.
Always a pleasure. Have a great one, guys.
Time for You Can't Ask That. Questions from socials. We've asked you guys to ask us questions that we can ask each other around. I imagine they're going to be a little bit fruity. So let's start the ball rolling with you, Jude. Who have you got a question for?
All right, I've got a question for Dell from Nate 0 Point. If the Dell is so tough and so skillful, why did he play his career on the wing?
Nate, when you run 100 metres in 11.1 seconds and you're 105 kilos, you can do that, mate. So I used to go through the middle. I changed the game as a winger, and that's how I got voted one of the greatest wingers in the game. So that's why, mate. And how many tests have you played?
Fair call. Your turn.
Okay, Dell, who have you got a question for?
Oh, this is for you, Gus.
Akey Dakes.
Okay. Oh, this is so good. What is your go-to hangover recovery meal?
Okay. Oh, Macca's.
Yeah.
Got to have Macca's. Yeah. Got to be with a Coke.
Yep.
And my deal is a Big Mac, 2 cheeseburgers, large fries, chocolate sundae, apple pie.
Well,
and are cookies.
Yeah. All I'm going to say, all I'm going to say,
I know it's controversial, but cookies are good.
All I'm going to say, that's pretty good. But with that, you probably need to get a Diet Coke or what's one without sugar?
Oh, yeah, the sugar-free Coke.
No, I love when people do that and they get that. Like, mate, you've got to go the whole way.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's go for it. Okay, I've got a question here for Jude.
Yep.
Jude, do you think that you could take Gus?
Oh, my God.
Oh, please.
You should see his face. You should see his face.
Disrespectful, to be honest.
Yeah.
I would just cut him in half. Just whack straight through him.
Can I just say, I know that you did play tough, and I think you're a bit of a cat, Gus.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a question from Preston's underscore music 01.
To who?
This must be some mistake. Did you say steak? How does Gus like his steak cooked?
Well done.
Oh, yeah.
Well done, man. And my kids are horrified. They just think, what are you talking about? I apologize when I ordered it at the restaurants, but I like it the way I like it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, Del, I've got a question for you.
Oh, no, sorry. It's back to me.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Okay, Del, what actor would play you in a movie?
Oh, look, to be honest, there's probably only two, Idris Elba or Denzel Washington.
You are kidding yourself.
Okay, have you got another question?
Or Wesley Snipes. Sorry. Yeah.
You go, Del.
Always bet on black. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, last question, guys, and then that's it for me.
Who's it for?
It's for Jude.
Okay.
Jude, this is so good for you. Best teammate on a night out.
Best teammate on a night out. I'd have to say Mickey
O'Loughlin.
Mickey O'Loughlin. He is just the magnetism of the man. He brings it together.
Stories we can't tell on the radio.
He's all time.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about Goodsy? Was Goodsy there somewhere?
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
You can't ask that. Thanks so much for all your questions. And that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you want to hear us live, you can catch us every Saturday morning on 104.9 Triple M. We'll be back next week, of course. And thanks for listening to us on the Listener app.